When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you work Pastor Paul and Roki, this worship team, Lord, that you work in this church in a mighty way, Lord, that you are among us, Lord, that you draw near to us, Lord, that you guide us through challenging times, that you equip us, Lord, to have an impact for you, that we can indeed glorify you. Lord, as we take these next many weeks, look at power that you would bestow upon us, that you would transform us, Lord, to something mighty to be used by you. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Pentecost. For those of you who raised your hand, you might have your answer today. I read to you of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. Pente, you know, I mean, like pentagram, five. It stands for 50 days. 50 days after Easter. And in fact, June 8th will be Pentecost Sunday. What happened on the day of Pentecost is these believers, Judas had hung himself, and there was 11. They had voted and got an additional disciple so that they would have the original complement of 12, and they were gathered in the days and listening to Jesus. Jesus had been raised, and they were gathered in this upper room, 120 believers. And as they were praying and as they were seeking God, that and it's about a 10-day period, 7 days to 10 days, because Jesus was with them for 40 days and Pentecost is 50 days after Easter, and Jesus was raised at, 50 days after Passover, and Easter's 3 days after Passover. So you kind of do the math. So basically we got about a 10-day window in which these believers are waiting for this gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has talked about. Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive this power from on high. And so they are being obedient, and they are waiting, and they are seeking, and they are praying. And then there is this sound like a mighty wind that shakes the house, and there is flame. It would be, if you could imagine, these lights that are up in the ceilings, just fire coming out and separating it upon each person. Because there's 120 people. About every chair, it filled up in here this morning, about 120 people. And so there would be like flames that came down upon each one. And they began to speak in other tongues. And we can get all wound up on the fire. And we can get all wound up on speaking in tongues. But realistically, as we're going to take a look at today, there is something much more monumentous that we could take a look at today, and that is the transformation that happened in Peter. And Peter was this anxious, speak too much, talk too much, out of control guy who speaks his first recorded sermon to those that were gathered to, because all this noise, they're going, what's going on? And they come and they hear these guys speaking these languages, they're going, what is going on? And Peter says, let me tell you what's going on. And he preaches this message that you can read in the rest of Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now I'm telling you that Pentecost is about the birth of the church. Pentecost is about the equipping and the empowering of this guy and the rest of those people to transform history. Amen. Oh, that it could happen in this church. Amen. Oh, that it could happen in each of us. And for many of us, it has occurred. And there is a fire. And Lisa talks about sometimes how, man, it just is just overwhelming sometimes how what Pastor Paul talks about and today what Roki talks about and what you preach on and what the music is on is all guided by the same hand. Yes. That the Lord would come and the Lord would do a mighty work among us and in us and through us. And that is what Pentecost is about. That God is still doing a mighty work in people that will open themselves to Him. Pentecost. Maybe it might be easier for you to remember just as the church's birthday. Oh, Pentecost, the church's birthday. You will be, you know, for people who are in the know, you just hit it right on the head. All right, this guy's got some teaching there. Oh, yeah. You sound really smart. We're going to put a focus on this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going to put a focus on the church's birthday, a focus on the baptism of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost for maybe 8 or 10 weeks. Because God is still pouring out His Holy Spirit. God is using regular people to change history. 12 guys, 120 people, radically transformed by the power of God, changed history. We look and we see God doing mighty things throughout the Old Testament. Acts is right at the beginning of the New Testament time. We have the Gospels right after Jesus is raised from the dead, raised to heaven. We see the Acts of the Apostles, the beginnings of the church and how the Holy Spirit works in miraculous ways. And so we see the New Testament, we have the Old Testament, and where we're going to start with this is God's mighty work in the Old Testament. In fact, today we are going to be taking a look at Moses. Now, this is not a photo of Moses. They did not have cameras 3,500 years ago, okay? This is actually, this is scary. Yeah, who does not know who Charlton Heston is? No, see, everybody's... Yeah, oh, he's Moses. There you go. I think this is like 1963, The Ten Commandments. A great movie. If you want to watch a movie with... I mean, it's not totally biblical. It's more biblical than Noah, I'll give you that, although I haven't seen Noah. I have not seen Noah. I don't know how biblical it is, but I've not heard. I have just heard. This is Charlton Heston. He plays Moses in the Ten Commandments. It is very cool to see what God does through a regular guy. We're going to take a look at this because perhaps we can get a glimpse of what God might do through you. God did radical things, poured His Spirit out on 120 people in Jerusalem. Title of today's message. Changed by God. Let's take a look. Amen? Amen. All righty. God works through people. We're going to go back to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to hop through all the way through Exodus today. So if you got your Bible, we'll go through 3, but be ready to move. Bible says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Oh, you know what? I'm going to read this from here. The priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. Moses said, here I am. And he said, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. God makes a call. God makes a call to just a normal guy. Now, if you look at Charlton Heston, you know, he like grows up with Yul Brynner, and he's not really portrayed as a normal guy. And realistically, if you look at the first several chapters of Exodus, his birth is incredibly miraculous, and his being spared from being killed is also incredibly miraculous. But realistically, he was a normal guy and he was just in a normal place. It was called Horeb. It became the mountain of God when God showed up there. Amen? See, Moses became a special guy when God began to use him. We call that being made holy. He says, this is holy ground. This ground is separated for God. It is holy. And Moses becomes holy. Not that he is incredibly righteous or perfect, but he is separated for use by God. Amen? Amen? So here, and the Bible says, let me see what I say. I'm going to get ahead of myself. The miracle that God does is the flame. But that's not our focus. See, the flame is a testimony that God is in the house. Amen? Now, we're not so worried about the flame as opposed to what God is going to do in the house or on the mountain. What's he going to do in Moses' life? Moses shows up. There's a fire there. There's somebody talking out of the fire, and he's saying, I think I better pay attention. And so often God does miracles so that we're going to pay attention to what he says. He doesn't do tricks. It's like, hey, God, can you jump through some hoops for him? No, I don't jump through hoops, man. But I will validate myself to you in a way that is incredibly dynamic and real. And then it's up to you. You want to answer my call? You don't have to. God calling? No, thanks. Are you guys tired of the telemarketers?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm getting rid of my home phone, man. It's like nobody calls. If you do call, we won't answer because everybody's a telemarketer. But if you say, hi, Pastor Bob, we'll pick up the phone. So if it goes to the machine, speak, we'll probably there, we'll probably pick it up. But if you don't speak, we'll just go, that was another telemarketer. Sometimes people treat God that way. God calling, nah, don't think so. I'm fine, just the way I am. Sound like Roki was fine with God in 2013? 12. No, you were fine hanging up on God in 2013, right? Oh, yeah. No, God, I got it handled. Got my credit cards going. I don't really need you. You don't have to answer the call. In fact, we will find out that, as God does these miracles, he does it to validate what he says. You know, he says you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's our study. What is God going to do with his power? And we're going to take a look at how he does that in Moses' life. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. Exodus chapter 3, 9 through 12. Sorry, I'm going to try and read from the paper. Just in case you wonder. Because to me, I was here for Celebrate Recovery. And it looks so odd having people read from the screen. Because some of you can't see what I'm looking at. So I'm reading from the paper. If anybody wants to comment on that later, please, I'd love to hear from you. All right, here we go. I'm going to try and cut that off the recording, by the way. Yes, Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. And now God speaking, the cry of the Israelites has reached me. The Israelites are the children of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Israel. All right, the children of Israel, their great nation in Egypt, they're crying out in their slavery. God says, the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, he's talking to Moses. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? I mean, why are you picking me? I mean, I'm out here tending sheep. I am in the sticks. I'm just a normal guy. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain, called later on the Mountain of God. God makes a call. God makes a change. He makes a change in Moses. God's eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are tuned to their prayer. You got an issue? Tosimi used to come up. She used to lay down the issues that she had every day in prayer. She had, as we looked at it, 5 kids, 22 grandkids, 34 great-grandkids, and 140 nieces and nephews. I tell you what, she could lay out a prayer list. I'd just be overwhelmed, saying, Lord, you got to handle this. I can't remember the names. You know what? You can't overwhelm the Lord. Had 3 million Jews crying out, Lord, these people are oppressing us. God says, I have heard. I am paying attention. And so he calls Moses. I want you to notice that he does not just vaporize the Egyptians. He could have just gone, no more Egyptians, no more problem. Even got some partially finished pyramids. You can do something with them. You know, take all the blocks apart and you can make me a temple. He didn't do that. So often I think that's what we want God to do with our problems. God, could you just vaporize all my problems? God, could you just take this F and turn it into an A? God, can you just, you know, take all my credit cards and just poof, take all my credit. That's not how God rolls. God says, no, I want you to trust me. I want to work a change in you so that I can work a change through you. Amen? And so he calls Moses. Who am I? He says, you're the guy I'm going to set the people free through. You're the guy I'm choosing to do a mighty thing in. God calls Moses, God equips Moses, and God works through Moses. God's going to handle it, and he's going to use Moses to do it. Are you following me? My question is, what do you got going on around you? What might God use you to make impact on the situation around you? How can God shine his light through you? And are you even open? Are you like Roki saying, nah, I'm good? I got to admit, Roki's answering in 2014. Yeah. It's better when you answer, right, Roke? Yeah. Amen. Come tomorrow night, you'll hear about what it's like to answer. Moses' response, I'm just a guy. I'm just a shepherd. God says, you're my guy. You're the guy I'm going to use. And God does some pretty radical things through Moses. Maybe you've heard of him. 10 plagues, parts of the Red Sea, leads the people through the wilderness. God does some pretty radical things through Moses. A normal guy. You know what is so crazy? Is God can do some pretty radical things through you. Just a normal person. Wednesday night, we were almost as packed as we were for the funeral. We were packed. And I'm coming in, doing the thing I'm doing, and I see Sandra sitting right there where Karina is sitting. Last row, first seat, right there by where the ushers stand. And she is doing her thing. And she's like the only person clapping in the place. Because Aaron's not here. Tommy wasn't here. Ain't nobody clapping up on the stage. I'm going, Sandra, what are you doing? Well, I got here late. I said, girl, God doesn't use you back in the back row. God used you on the front row. She said, I should go up there? I said, you should go up there right now. And she goes up there. We get her mics in. And she says, I talked to her afterward. And she says, Laura is cracking up. And she's going, man, am I, you know, shoes undone, you know. And I'm looking, I can't, and she's just cracking up. She said, what were you laughing at? She says, man, you went up there and you just changed everything. That light just beamed through you. Now, everybody up there is up there singing, playing, doing some great stuff, but there was just a change that happened. Karina sitting on the back row. She's been teaching kids, I don't know, how long have you been teaching kids for us now? Like 4 months, 3 months, something like that. And I remember after her first class, I said, how'd it go? And she said, it was great. I was on fire. And I'm telling you, that lady is on fire. Saw Aaron up here yesterday talking about Tosimi. Man was on fire. see Pastor Paul coming up here ministering, Pastor Scott coming up here ministering. Roki, I'll tell you what, man, you check his feet, man. I bet you his shoes and soles are burning because that man has got some fire in him. And you know what? I could just go on and on because so many of you are being used in an incredibly mighty way. And the thing is, the Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God is looking for normal people that he can make a change in so he can make a change through. Amen? And so he's saying, hey, are you that person? Are you that person? Because I'm not drawn short on fire. I'm not drawn short on power. I got enough to go around. I just got too many people that are hanging up when they get the call. All righty. Are we good? All right. Let's see. Moses right on track. Okay. Now, notice that we jumped from chapter 3 to chapter 19. We have jumped over all the plagues. We've jumped over everything. They are now out of Egypt, okay? And in fact, they are back to the mountain. In fact, what the Lord said, this is going to be a sign to you when you come out of Egypt, you're going to worship me right here. And amazingly, there they are. Can I get a witness on that? The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense... Sorry about that. Got to get back on paper, like I'm going back in history. Yes. All right. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people, 3 million Israelites, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Jumped up to verse 16. On the morning of the third day, God had Moses line them all up, all 3 million, okay? They purified themselves, they abstained from sex, they cleansed everything. They were getting ready for God to show up. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain. And a very loud trumpet blast. I don't know where the trumpet came from. I don't know if it was the Israelites blowing or angel blowing. Somebody blowing a trumpet. Everyone in the camp trembled. You think? 3 days set up and the mountain is quaking. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Moses, right on track. This is going to be a sign to you. You're coming right back. Worship me on this mountain. They will spend a year at the foot of this mountain. And to start this year off, God appears in a way in which they can relate to him. Thunder, lightning, fire, cloud, smoke, noise, shaking. You know, when God wants to show up, he's got no problem showing up in a way that you can relate to. Amen? In fact, he said, line everybody up. I am going to make a display. I want them to know what I am about. I want them to know what you and I have got going on, Moses, because when you speak, you're going to speak for me. And there are people around you that have no clue who God is. And God would do an incredibly mighty work in you so that you can speak from this book with authority and you can make a change in the lives of the people around you. He is just looking for vessels that would say, Lord, I am ready to put a focus on you. Again, the miracle of the fire, the flames, the shake, the noise, the trumpet, that is not the focus. The focus is what God is going to do in Moses and through Moses. The relationship that God has with Moses, that is what is being emphasized. And all those people, that should be a red letter day in their lives. Amen? Yeah. Remember the day the earth shook? Oh, I remember that day. God wants it on display so he can accomplish his work through Moses. And he's still looking to do work. He's still looking for people that would say, who am I? You're the person I'm going to use. Amen? All right, now we're moving from verse 19 to verse 34. We have jumped through a bunch of stuff again. In fact, the next time we get to Exodus, we're going to go to chapter 40, which is the last chapter of the book. So now what we have is the law has been given and God is regularly meeting with Moses. And Bible says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the two tablets of testimony were in his hands. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. And Moses' countenance is changed by the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Moses' face shone. People saw him and went, what is up with that guy? They said, oh, he's been meeting with God. God wants the people around you to know that you are different. If you're meeting with him, there are some people out there trying to fake it. Oh, he's not happy about that. Don't fake it. You don't have to fake it. It can just be real. That change was a display of what God was doing in the life of Moses. On the day of Pentecost, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It was a display of what God was doing in the life of the disciples. That they would become apostles, the sent ones, that they would be representing him. Transformed lives. Tongues were not the focus, but a verification of what God was doing. Focus on Pentecost. Not the disciples speaking in tongues, but the 3,000 people who received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior that day. That baptism, that power of God, that was the day that the church was born. It is so incredible. Lisa and I were here, and there was about 12 people here. And they all looked like Jean. Jean was a youngster back then. She was 15 years younger, but we had other ladies, 94, 95-year-olds. And I came back and there was Jimmy. Jimmy was really young. But there was about 12 super seniors. Average age, like 80, 85. That's an advanced age, folks. And so I am preaching. And I actually had preached, three, 4 weeks before. And I had talked about a multilingual outreach, you know, with Spanish and actually also Vietnamese. And there were some Vietnamese guys that were in the church. And I asked Pastor Steinbach, first thing I said, hey, Pastor Steinbach, how you doing, man? Have those guys been back? Nah, I haven't seen him. Probably never see him again. Because I'm praying, I'm coming down, driving down, and I'm talking about the Lord just doing mighty, mighty things to birth the church. And 15 years ago, and so I'm driving down, and we've been in Mexico at the orphanage for 3 years, and grew up in in El Centro, north of Mexicali, in Fresno. I mean, a lot of Mexicans around all the time, but not Vietnamese. You know, and I'm like, Lord. You got to handle the Vietnamese. I got no clue. I don't know how to do it. I'm driving down and praying that prayer, you know. And so, I preach Sunday school, and we talk about this multilingual outreach that we're going to do, and da 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 da. And the presbyter's here, Jack Sampier, and they're going to vote on me. And the pastor's wife's talking to Lisa with Leanne. She's a little baby going, now don't be disappointed if they don't vote for you. Because people like them don't vote for you, and I don't think you're going to get the vote. And Lisa's going, yeah! Because she didn't want to come to San Diego, and that's another miracle story right there. But so I'm doing this thing, and Lisa's in the nursery, and Miss Steinbach's in the nursery, and they're talking, and Lisa's celebrating, and in walks the two Vietnamese guys. Whoa. And I'm okay. And so I'm doing this thing. I'm going to preach in the church hour, and this is Sunday school, so I'm laying it out, plan for the church, plan for this community, plan for everything, multilinguistic outreach, and all this kind of stuff. And I said, is there any questions? And I remember Pat Vischer goes, can you pick us up for church? And I'm like, I used to drive a bus in Sacramento, pick up kids in the hood. I said, hey, I pick up 60 kids. I could probably pick up you. And this Asian guy puts up his hand. Can I ask a question? I said, please ask a question. I kid you not. He stands up and he says, we are Assemblies of God ministers from Vietnam. We have a church planted in our home two blocks from here, and we cannot fit any more people in the building. Can you help us? I'm like, brother, we can help you. We can make room for you. We can make a spot for you. And it is like silent. Hold on. It's like silent. Wow. You ask Jimmy about it. It's like, and then some guy, I don't know who he was, somebody's grandson goes, man, it sure feels like the Holy Spirit is in here today. Just like that. And they ran a vote, or we made a vote, and it was, I got every vote but one. And Lisa went, but I told her, I'm playing her down. But she was a little, but God spoke to her heart. All I'm saying is, folks, I mean, I'll tell you what, this church looks so radically different than it did that day. What has happened the last 15 years has been radically transforming stuff. It's so cool. God is still looking for people that would answer the phone and say, whatever you want, Lord. I had pastors, I showed them pictures of this church. They said, are you joking? I said, you wouldn't go? No way. I said, God's calling me. I don't care. I'm like, dude, I'm staying until he says go someplace else. That was 15 years ago. I'm hoping he don't send us nowhere else. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen? Wow. You know what? I was going to try and be quick today, but I'm not going to be quick. All right, here we go. All right. Guided by God, Exodus chapter 40, end of Exodus. They have built a tabernacle. Tabernacle is this. Come on. That is a tabernacle, big tent, okay, to have church in. All righty? That's what they built. And so this is what we're talking about, Exodus 40, 34 to 38. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the tent. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. They would pack all their stuff up, 3 million people, and they would move. And they would move until God stopped leading them. Said, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they would not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during their travels. The Israelites are ready to move. They have been next to the mountain of God for a year. He has taught them, given them design so that they can build this tabernacle in which God's presence will go with them. He would guide them with fire at night coming from above the tabernacle and cloud during the day. And in the desert, it is nice to have shade. Can I get a witness? Yes. And in the desert at night, it's nice to have light. I don't know if this was the original nightlight, but I'm sure it was comforting. And so God would be with his people. He had given them the tabernacle. In fact, he'd given them all the law, which told them how they would relate to him. They would do sacrifices here, primarily, and you got 3 million people. And the tabernacle was was like this big. It's as big as the stage. That's how big that tent is, this big. You're not going to fit 3 million people inside. Can I get a witness? But they were arrayed all around it. In fact, this is designed because God said, this is how you're going to camp around the tabernacle. And you got Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, all the tribes of Israel arrayed around the tabernacle. And in fact, when they marched, they had a different order and the ark would go before them. So their whole lives had become ordered by the law of God. Amen? Amen? And so now they are ready to move. They have completed the year, and now they know how to relate to God, and he has given them rules on how they should relate to one another. The presence of God led them. He fed them. Every morning they got manna, and their clothes did not wear out for 40 years. God is looking for more. Because not one of them made it out of the actually two of them made it out of the wilderness. Moses did not make it out of the wilderness. The entire generation, those 20 years old and older, perished in the wilderness because of their disobedience. Moses perished because of his disobedience. Caleb and Joshua made it through. Out of 3 million. They took the land. They went into the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. And they built a temple. Same size and basic order of as the tabernacle. It was this big. And they dedicated it. And the glory of God filled the temple. And the priests were not able. Same, almost word for word. How the glory of God filled the tabernacle, the glory of God filled the temple, the priest couldn't go inside, and God was there, and he was saying, this is where I'm going to be, and these are my people, and it was not enough. The people were camping out by God, and it was not enough. So God is looking for more. Joel 2:28, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. He's saying because as they took the land that he brought in Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, they destroyed the temple, they took the people and they scattered them. He says, I'll call you back. I'm looking for some people that will answer my call. And when you come back, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Not just Moses, not just Samuel, not just the judges that we'll take a look at next week. Not just the king, but everyone and anyone who would answer the call, who would say, I'll live my life to glorify you. I'll receive your power. I'll make an impact. Use me. He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your sons, and that's you, not just your kids. That is you, that you would be able to speak forth the truth of God in a mighty way. And people go, whoa, that didn't come from you. Talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old man will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. I think I'm getting to the dream stage. Yeah, old man, I used to take joke on that. No, it's dream time for me. I know, you've been there a while. God makes a promise. One day I will not dwell near my people. One day I will dwell in my people. I'll put my spirit in you. Look at Pentecost. We look at God doing a special work in the lives of believers. Lisa, you can come on up. When I first heard about Pentecost, I thought, what a joke. I want nothing to do with this. I thought it was nuts. You hear about this today, you hear about the power of God being released in your life, and you think it's nuts, you got good company. A lot of people think it's nuts. And I began to study it, and I began to see it revealed. I mean, I don't know. Pastor Paul, how many sermons you heard on Pentecost starting with Moses? I mean, not a lot. But I'll tell you what, it's all through the book. God using regular people. You read about David. He was just a shepherd. No, bring me the little one. God will use you. I began to get a grip of that, and I began to say, I got to figure out about this Pentecost thing. And I began to study it, and I got mad at the pastor, and I started going from church to church to church, and every time they'd be talking about Pentecost. Thinking, man, God is ordering all these churches, order of services all throughout Sacramento just for me. What is up with this Pentecost stuff? And I began to seek after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it took me 6 months. I had to figure out what was going on in my heart, what was going on in my soul. You're seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you haven't got it yet? You're in good company. God's knocking. God's calling. Say, Lord, here I am. I tell you what, we'll talk about this over the next week. I had to deal with some crud in me. Get out the way. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I did not become a brand new person. That happened when I got saved. I became a new creation in Christ. Amen? But what happened was, is I became better able to be used by God. That I became more sensitive to His voice, to His word. I spoke in tongues. I still speak in tongues. I pray for you guys in tongues all the time. When I am standing up there and you are not there and I'm not praying for you, I am praying in the Spirit right there. Paul says, I am glad I pray in the tongue more than all of you. I'm trying to catch up. I'm in the hood, man. I need some power. And you are in the hood and you need some power. And he is looking for people. He is looking for ordinary people to do extraordinary things that he could do a change in you and do a change through you. And maybe that's you this morning. You're saying, oh Lord, I don't want to be an ordinary guy anymore. Lord, I want to be supernaturally charged by your Spirit, and I want to do supernatural things. I want to have supernatural impact on the lives around me. Lord, I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I want to see you do miraculous things in and through me. Oh Lord, I don't want to be the same anymore. Use me, Lord. Nobody looking around. You know, I pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking right to your heart this morning. Many of you, the Holy Spirit is, and I called some of you by name earlier, is active and moving in a mighty way. Paul says, be filled. Keep getting filled. Be filled and filled and filled overflowing. You just say, Lord, I want some more. I want some more. I want some more. Maybe you are confused right now and you'd be saying, Lord, this is what I did. Say, Lord, if this is from you, I want it. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. But if it's from you, Lord, I want this. You said, it's for me. Let's work on some stuff. We'll get you on the move. I just want to close our time just singing. Stand with me if you would. The disciples laid hands on people and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you are here and you are baptized in the Spirit, you want more, I want to pray with you. They also anointed people with oil, and this is a sign. I mean, nothing magic here. It's just kind of a sign of the Holy Spirit. And so as I'm talking about this, and you're going, you know what? I want that in my life. I want to pray for you. I want to anoint you with oil. It's a sign of the Holy Spirit. And it is like, Lord, might take me 6 days, might take me 6 months, might take me 6 years, but Lord, I want to understand your power, I want to understand your plan for my life, and I want to walk down that path. In the same way Moses, I mean, Moses fought him at the beginning, man. He's like, no, not me. Well, you can answer the call today and say, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. I don't know what it is. I'll do whatever it takes. We're going to sing this song. You got a cool Holy Ghost song, don't you? Oh, yeah. So... We're going to sing this song. I invite you to come. I want to pray with you and anoint you with oil. The worship team is going to come.